Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, I just thank God for the privilege of doing this. And this is not my own, this message I know I got from the Lord. I just want to be able to deliver it right. And we will. So let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness. I thank you people have ears to hear. I just want to do what you said to do. I want to do it in pleasing to you. So I got to do it by faith. And that's how we're here today, by faith. To hear something that'll change our lives that we can act on today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, praise God. Why don't we turn to Romans chapter 12 and we'll get started here. I didn't do the opening and Darlene didn't ask about if you need an envelope, but if you did, yeah, you know enough to wave if, you know, flag us down. Well, renewing of the mind, Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read first the King James. Well, I've been all over in translations, and I want to read also out of the Amplified on this, because so many times I think we think about one-dimensional, you know, when we think in one vein of thought, like the Pharisees, you know, they were thinking naturally, and Pastor talks about that. You know, we don't want to miss the times we're living in. And this is helping me in that realm. So in the King James, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can prove the will of God for our lives personally. Today, you can hear some things. But the Amplified talks about make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties. So, you know, we're not just talking about presenting our flesh, our bodies to Him, but our flesh in the realm of our mind, the wholeness of the body. In other words, thoughts. And He's talking about thoughts as we go on here. Now, one of the translations I really like in verse 2, and it's in the bulletin, but the New Living says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Man, I'm for that. Dear God. Can God transform us into new people? I mean, I've been born again 46 years, and I'm thinking, can we get a little further here? And it's my fault, but, you know, it's good to know that this can be done. So, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So let God transform you into a new person. But how's He going to do it? By us renewing our mind, changing the way we think. So we have a part to play. This is not like, la-di-da, okay, God, I'm here, do something. You know, we have a part to play. Obviously, that's how the Word works. If you can change the way you think, you can change your life. I mean, that's, to me, that is good news. I don't know about you, but there's some areas of my life I am so disgusted with and miss it so bad at times. I mean, this is not true confessions or anything, but, you know, I don't suppose I'm the only one. Have we arrived at Christ-like perfection? Let me help you. No. So we do need to have our minds renewed. And knowing then we can know exactly what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. And it's not like this big parameter, oh yeah, the earth is supposed to do that. No, this is for me, for you. We can know personally what it is for us. Now, you always got to walk by faith, but, you know, this is transformative power. Power, you know, this is something that the world has been looking for, is looking for, is spending millions of dollars on and popping pills and trying to get changed, but right here it is all this time in the Word. You know, that isn't that the way it is? You know, the Word's right there in plain sight. And as you go on, I think Pastor said this or somebody said that recently, as you go on in life, you realize some of what the prophecies were saying. And you see it plays out before you. So this is transformative power. I don't want to go to a psychologist, psychiatrist. If you do, if you are, if you have to, I guess I'm not criticizing you, but, you know, we have an answer here. we can operate in the realm of the Holy Ghost, or we can operate in the realm of the other realm, the dark side, so to speak. But what's involved is spirits. You know, you got to realize, and we'll prove this out. You can just say that, oh, yeah, spirits. But I'm going to show you some things here. And, you know, people say, well, you know, I just, sometimes Christians get off base. Well, you know, I've been praying, I've been fasting, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and that's all good stuff. But if he said that is how you'd be transformed, that's what he would have said. He's saying here, by the renewing of your mind, you know, what you think on. So turn to Mark chapter 9. This absolutely thrilled me, and you judge this, but I'll tell you what, I get this out of the Word, and it absolutely thrills me. I never saw this until recently on this aspect of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. What did I say? Mark 9, yeah. So the word there says in verse 2, and after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter and James. I'm going to try and hold this Bible up so I'm not getting that sound when I read. After 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter and James and John and leads them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured, the King James says, transfigured before them. This is exactly the same Greek word as we read in Romans 12, but translated there, transformed. Jesus was transformed, transfigured. We can be transfigured, if you want to translate it that way, by the renewing of our minds. But what was the result of this? Well, in the other account, in Matthew's account, it says he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And the King James says it was exceeding white as snow, so that no fool on earth can white them. I mean, there he is, changed like this. So what was on the inside of Jesus showed up on the outside. Now, this leads us to the fact we're born again people, aren't we? Everybody in here born again? So what's on the inside, we want to show up on the outside. So that's, you know, Jesus was transfigured in that, it doesn't exactly say, but it appears this was pretty quickly happening. It just transfigured. This wasn't like with us, you know, sometimes it takes me years to get to a certain point where I feel like I maybe got halfway there. Here is Jesus, what's on the inside comes out of him, and they see it just like that. So what's on the inside of us when we're born again? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, temperance. We want this coming out. You know, after I ream somebody out, but after I've said something I shouldn't have, or after I've had a harsh word, I'm thinking, why did I do that? You know, you want that to come out right away. So Jesus transfigured. So, you know, what was in him, the purity of Jesus. I mean, he was operating as a man in the earth, but the purity of him showed up just instantly like that. So realize what's inside of us is so powerful. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what's inside of us. When we became born again, we became a new creation. So our spirits are right before God, and we can operate of our spirit. This is what we're... But does it say we're supposed to do something with our body and our mind? It does. We're supposed to take care to get our flesh lined up. We're, as we grow, you know, you can't compare me as a 46-year born-again person to somebody that got born again last night. You know, God's going to deal with me on my flesh more than them. But, I mean, I'm not bragging about this, sir, but there's people born again longer than me that you wonder if they know how to get out of bed in the morning spiritually. You gotta do something. And this is where your thought life, renewing your mind, has a lot to do with it. So we are in the likeness and image of God. We can choose what we want to speak. We're speaking spirits, created in his image. We can choose what we want to think on. You know, what is a word? We're talking about renewing of the mind. What a word is, a thought container. You know, before any invention came about, these people had it in their Edison or Graham Bell or Henry Ford had this thought in their mind about, or you know, about their product, and they got it down on paper, and you know, but before it actually came into being, it was a thought. So your thought life is important. Why else do you think he would tell us to renew our mind? So we can choose about anything we can choose what we think on. There's people out there that think they have no choice. They're just, a lot of them are in mental institutions. And we'll talk about that. But your word is a thought capsule. You want to realize, and you can choose where these words come from. We have a whole book of words here, words that will inspire you, the words that will change your life. Now, is he? Who's he writing to here in Romans? I mean, you always got to get to the foundation. It's just, you want to nail it down, have it airtight, that you know where, is he talking to me? In Romans it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ in chapter 1, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. I'm going down to verse 7 then. He's talking to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. The King James says, called to be saints. To be is in italics. That's added by the translators. Called saints. In fact, the Young's literal translation, I have that here. So. Says, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called saints. So he's talking, is he talking to saved people or unsaved? Is he talking to Christians? Yeah, he is. So 12 chapters in Romans, he's telling Christians that you can change, let me change you, he says, by the renewing of your mind. You'll be transfigured, transformed, transformative power. You know, the world's looking for this power. They poo-poo the word. They look at, some of them, look at us when you try and say something, and just kind of, some of them are nice and patient with you, but they just walk away. But, you know, the answer is here. And I always say to people, you know, check back with me in 150 years. I don't know if they get it, but somebody's going to be shown up as right, and the word is always right. So he's telling us, born again people, that we don't just stop at the new birth. He's been expecting us to do something, and we want to change life, you know. I suppose you could be a baby Christian, go through life, go to heaven, and still be like in diapers spiritually, but who wants to do that? Maybe, I think there are some people that really are just satisfied with that, but one of the things that God dealt with me about this in preparing this message was something Charles Capp said, and I got a book here somewhere on that. Yeah. No wonder this thing's so heavy. I got an autographed copy of End Time Events. Charles Capps and my parents were in the same international flying organization. He was a pilot. And so I wrote him one day. I said, can I have you sign a book? And he did. And he's in heaven now, thank God, flying some good stuff. But he talked about the triangle at the end. You've heard me talk about this maybe before. But he was, this is probably in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s. It was a prophetic word came to him, and it said, as you approach the triangle of the end, time shall grow faster and closer and faster and closer until the wicked shall be cut off. You know, that day is coming. It continued. There was a time when you could be off from the center line. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't read that. He saw an acute triangle, like an upside-down pyramid, and it was filled with light, and there was a center line down to the bottom point. So, it looked like an inverted pyramid, a line drawn, then the center, the wide at the top, narrow at the bottom. It looked like a funnel, resembled a funnel, and inside was light, outside is darkness. Man, this is becoming more clear to us as born-again believers. The light's getting light, the dark's getting darker. But he said, and then this is, you know, this is 40-some years ago. He said, there was a time when you could be off from the center line and the triangle and still be inside the triangle of light. But as you approach the triangle of the end, you must move to the center line, for line must be upon line, precept upon precept. He said, I could see that if you were off from the center line at the bottom end of the triangle, you'd be outside the triangle and in darkness. And that's the way the wicked would be cut off. And even though they were to one side of the center line of God's word at the top of the triangle of time, they're still in the light then, but at the narrow end, they're in darkness. So to me that says God wants us to have the renewing of the mind, to follow through on the word, to not just get born again and then let things slip. And he said about at time is reacting much the same as liquid flowing through a funnel, being drawn into the narrow end and released into a container of larger dimensions. seems like there's not enough time to go around. Time controls us. We haven't noticed that, have we? We all, in one way or another, sense that we're being drawn by the vortex created by time itself, spiraling faster and faster to the narrow end of the triangle of time for the purpose of being released into the new millennium that will forever change planet Earth. So, you could say, oh, yeah, fine. Well, I personally talked to Charles Kasdan years ago. We were at a meeting, and I told you this before, but, you know, we showed up at this church in Allentown because we had our newsletter. We were partners with him at the time, and nobody's there. I said, no, this is a satellite meeting. This is, what are we, it's fine, but. So finally, this guy opens the door, and we go in, and, you know, we thought this was the best thing since sliced bread. And he was there live. We went, I don't know how many nights, and one of the servers, I got to talk to him afterwards. And also, there's some other prophetic things he said that just have proved out. So I take this as not far off or not off at all. But, you know, look at the world we're living in. The other thing God dealt with me this, we need to, in renewing of our minds, we're staying in that light. You know, we may not know everything, but if we're moving in a direction, he'll show us some things. And the other thing that God really dealt with me about, this is all introduction, but don't sweat it. I won't have you here all day. I have so many notes. I'm probably, you know, I'll get it together here. You got to draw. What you need, you'll get. Because I'll tell you, I got so many notes, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. But then he dealt with me about adding this about Charles Kasdan. And then the other thing about, you know, and you might want to turn here, Matthew 24. I've talked about this before in a service, but it fits here. I'm trying to make a point. The Holy Ghost is going to make the point. In Matthew 24, Jesus went out in verse 1, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, seeing that all these things, verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So these guys were disciples of his. They were with him. They weren't yet born again, but they were with him. They knew him. They kind of figured, well, this guy's talking about the messianic. He's talking about what's coming here, but we're going to wait at the right moment before we ask him about this. And then it says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. So they moved over there. Now, Mark's account says it was Peter, James, John, and Andrew asking him privately. So this is like an inner circle. But what did they ask? Three things here. He sat upon the Mount of Olives. Disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Number one. Number two, what shall be the sign of your coming? And number three, in the end of the world. Actually, the King James says world. It's the end of the age. We have people, world people out there. Everybody knows something's going on if they didn't climb out from under a rock yesterday. People that are not even born again. And they think, wow, the world's going to end. Well, no, it's not going to end till God does this. Climate control is not going to do it. There's the end of an age coming, which is even more thrilling because we're in this vortex of time, but we're going to come out into a millennium, change people. You know, we're going away for 7 years. We're coming back. This is real. This is real. But they're asking him this, and what's the number one thing he said? This just hits me so hard, and maybe it's just me, but I've heard other preachers emphasize the other part, and that's fine. But the number one thing he said, take heed that no man deceive you. In other words, beware, the one translation says. They knew something was up. They're asking this. They generally want to know, how do we get ready? What are we supposed to do now for where we're at in this age? Pastor talks about that. What are we supposed to do personally as a church, as everything? Number one right now, we see that we're not deceived. I don't know if you guys, this will date me, but back in the 60s and 70s, I believe, there's a lady called Jeannie Dixon, a so-called prophetess or something, you know, the National Enquirer. People would go buy the magazine and see what she's predicting for the new year. It said she actually predicted Kennedy's assassination, but then later on she predicted that he'd win, but be assassinated, which he was. But then later she changed it that no, Nixon was going to win. 1960, probably you guys, anyway, you weren't even born, some of you guys. But, you know, people, I remember this. I think I, as a kid, I'd be looking at this stuff. Oh, man, she's saying this. And people want to know. We want to know, but we want to know in a realm of what's God doing, what are we supposed to do to fulfill for Him. You know, at Darlene's business, at the coffee business down at the market on a Wednesday, that's still, I don't know, maybe before Christmas, I do a lot of dishes and pump the coffee. But I'm standing there, and we have a seating area over here, like a little seating area. And in the afternoon, these guys come in, and men and women from a certain company. And I guess a lot of them are retired, and they just kibitz, you know, and buy some coffee and sit there. But anyway, I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I cannot believe this. And the one lady talked about, I don't know if she taught Sunday school or she's, you know, at least involved with the church. And I'm hearing her say, yeah, you know, I paid $75, and I went to see this psychic. And he just said whatever the person, she just hit, huh? Yeah, read her mail. And I'm thinking, oh, he's, anyway, I felt sorry for her because if they go to church, I don't know. What's the pastor saying to them? You know, familiar spirits, you ever hear the term familiar spirits? So then this other guy says, oh, yeah, I would do that. Oh, yeah, I mean, this is, oh, yeah, and this guy, he said it. He nailed it. I'm thinking, oh, my God. This, maybe church, maybe not. I don't know, born again. Some of them probably are born again, but deception. See, if you don't ask the right question in the framework of the Word and have some knowledge and then follow through with the Word, they're so deceived on this. You know, they're dealing with spirits. We have to deal with spirits that are saying to us, do this, do that. Or the Holy Ghost that says, do this, do that. So they're if they act on some of that stuff, at some point, I mean, they're thinking this is good, but they're set up to act on something that's going to take them so far out of line. You don't need Jesus. You know, there's always to heaven. You know, that's not that big of a stretch for somebody. And if you guys ever do the psychic one or something like that, I'm not trying to criticize you, but knock it off now. There's another person I know is a Christian dealing with grief. Oh, but I want to go to this medium because they say they can contact the other side and I want to hear about my long lost. And we tried to minister to that person. I'm not going to say him or her or with what. But, you know, you wonder the state of affairs. I'm glad I'm not God. I'd pull the flush thing. But you know, so the deception is there. We don't want to let this happen to us. And here we are in the middle of a church. Most every time we leave our driveway in the morning on a Sunday, thanking God we can assemble. You know, this is not something we got to do. And then go talk to the psychic later for excitement. So anyway, just asking that question without being aware of deception will set you up for error. You know, those people, well-meaning, all they see is some flash in the pan. They think it's real, but where's the pastor? And they can't blame just the pastor, but are they in the Word? Are they listening? Are we in the Word? Are we listening? This can really cost people, you know. And this leads us to another thing. Pastor and I talked about this last week. It just came up, but it's a scripture that I've been on my heart a lot in 1 John 3. So, you know, people like us, we talk about Jesus is coming back. You know, Jesus coming back. And I even catch myself. Do we really believe this? Yeah, I do believe this, and I try to meditate more and more on it. We need to realize, there is a day coming that we are actually going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is real. He's going to be talking to us about ruling nations or ruling cities or what have you. He's handing out assignments or just saying, well, you're here. You didn't get much, but you're here. This is really coming. But in 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because he knew him not. The world doesn't know him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear that we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Okay, now we know he's coming back. We know these things are happening. The messianic age is upon us. The church age, things are wrapping up here. We also know, like Darlene alluded to, Pastor talked to, we talk about the Pharisees missed the time of their visitation. We don't want to do that. So even though, you know, if you think you cannot be deceived, you're already deceived. So, but stay in the Word. Don't let this be a fearful thing. But what this points to is every man or woman that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. You know, this is something you don't see. And this is tied into the renewing of the mind. Oh, yeah, Jesus is coming back. Bless his holy name. But they don't, a lot of people say that don't have a clue. They don't really believe it. Because if they did, they'd probably soil their pants. I mean, I better quit this and I better quit that. And not that you got to be perfect to get to heaven, talking about being accepting him, but, you know, you purify yourself. And what is one of the number one ways of doing that is a renewing of the mind. I'm talking about when some stud comes walking down the street, ladies, and you think, oh, my God, no. Or some chick comes in front of us guys and, you know, swaying and this and that. No, that's not mine. That's not mine. That'll never be mine. I got the best now. You know, that's just one example. You know, you don't just jump into bed with every person, and, you know, only your spouse. But you don't just take every thought either. Believe me, there's spirits. There's spirits behind this. And we'll turn to Romans 8. What am I going to do against an evil spirit? Plenty. You know, you don't have to put up with it. People in mental institutions, most of them think they can't control their mind, but we can control our minds. I'm not talking about mind control. You know, I was always looking for the transfigurative power. In college, I read these books, Taoism, and the power of your supermind. And, you know, I'm just out there, lost as a goose, trying to figure out some way what's the meaning of life, you know, what in the world's going on. And finally, got born again and get into the book, and here we are. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind. The key word mind. Their mind is on the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. You think on the flesh thoughts. You think on the things that, it doesn't have to be an evil spirit, but a lot of this is involved with foul spirits. You know, these thoughts are you know, you never had an original thought. Do you think? I mean, you're either thinking about the Holy Ghost thoughts that he said, you know, he has come, you know, lead us and guide us into all truth, for he doesn't speak of himself, he only speaks what he hears, and he'll show us things to come. Or you're thinking thoughts that are from the other realm. You know, some nights you wake up in the middle of the night and you get this late, you're not going to make it. You're going to have to sell everything. You're going to be in a nursing home. You're going to shut up. You know, you don't have to put up with that. Then I go over to start meditating on Romans 8 about the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, the healing power of God. I'm praying for some of you in the middle of the night, you know, occasionally. But, you know, a lot of times you get yourself at peace and there you fall asleep. You wake up again, you get to the middle of verse, start over. But you keep those foul thoughts. Where do you think they came from? I mean, do you think God's saying, I'm not big enough, you're just going to have to fail and go under? And, you know, there's people do fail, there's people do go under, but, you know, we don't have to put up with those thoughts and we don't have to go that direction. So the way we think, and I want to read this in the Amplified. In verse 7 of chapter 8, that is, because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It's hostile to God. I don't want to be hostile to God. You know, think about somebody that's thinking about pornography in a little bit. Oh, just a little bit. And then all of, you know what that does? They say it draws them in and draws them in and draws them in. And down in our area, some dentist got caught in a sting operation on a meeting a teenager or something. I think it's something like that. And, you know, a professional person, you don't know who's out there doing this stuff. You know, they had a sting operation. He went for it, going to meet her, and they caught him. Now he killed himself. You know, done. You know, that's not the way to go. First of all, you made a mistake. Okay, stop, repent, don't kill yourself. You know, if he didn't know Jesus, you know, there are people that are out of their mind that just do that, and I don't think they went to hell. But, you know, if he's thinking he's going to get away from all the pressure, the pressure just began. So the thing is, thoughts are from the spirit realm. So to be spiritually minded connects you to life. It says in verse 6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what I'm after. Life and peace. I've had enough of the other stuff. I had such mental torment soon after I got born again. A lot before I was born again. But then there was times when I got, you know, the devil will take full advantage. I wasn't eating right. I was just smoking a lot and wasn't doing drugs or anything at that. But anyway, the devil will take full advantage when your body is off track, and then you'll start talking to your mind. Ah, you're losing it. You're going to end up in a mental institution. And, you know, a lot of those people, like I said, that are in mental institutions, either they think they committed the unpardonable sin, or they think they cannot control your mind. And again, I'm not talking about mind control, but I'm talking about controlling your mind, getting it renewed so it can change you. So, you know, we're emphasizing that thoughts are spiritual. They're not natural. You cannot touch a thought. Where did it come from? You got to judge it. It's a spiritual source somewhere. And, you know, now if a thought comes to you, well, I'm going to be, I don't know, I'm going to be in this position, this real high position, judge it. Is that, you know, not necessarily, you know, is it God? Is it the evil spirits? Is it your flesh? Is it your pride? You know, just judge these thoughts. So identify the thought before you start meditating on it and talking about it day and night. See, in Matthew 6 it says, why take you thought saying? That's how you take the thought. You start thinking about it. You start what you think about, you're going to speak on, and it starts to get into you. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on the law, the book of the law, or the word day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. So some people say, well, you can't do that. You're already doing it. You're already thinking about something. You know, are you just a zombie sitting there? Some people, you think they might be. Or there's times I come to myself thinking, what was I thinking about? I'm just like, well, did I think about anything? But you're thinking about something. You're thinking about maybe lunch now or no. So I shouldn't have said that. So in Matthew 18:18-19, it talks about whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. There's things that come to us. We should bind that thought and get that out of here. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, cast, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations, that has a connotation of casting it down. And every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The gnosko of God, like Darlene was talking about, the intimate knowledge of God. If people realized when they're thinking about certain things, oh, isn't she fine? Oh, yeah, I know, it's all right just to think about this. Isn't, man, what a, phew, wow, isn't he something? You know, no, it's not. You, as long as I don't act on it, you're already acting on something spiritual. That thing came out of the spirit somewhere. So, you know, you got to, and like Brother Hagin, he said, you know, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest in your hair. And he even said, you know, Christians will get perverted thoughts, dumb thoughts, evil thoughts. That it's not from inside of you coming up, hopefully not. It's from out an outside source. So what do? Just bat them out of here. Get them out of here. That's not my thought. I'm not taking it. And if you got to do that 20 hours a day out of 24, do it. But if people actually see that spirit that's trying to be intimate. Well, let me get back. I'll tell you that then. In Matthew 18:19, it says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they ask, it shall be done for them. We'll agree for a new car. You and I, we can do this. We're not touching that car. We're touching something in the realm of the spirit. And that changes things. So when you have a thought, an evil thought, I'm just saying to help you, when you get these thoughts, don't put up with them. Because when you're touching into an evil thought and you're maybe laying there thinking about this you shouldn't be thinking about, oh man, I could use 4 beers. That never bothers me. A cigarette. When I quit 3 packs a day, I was done. I became a non-smoker. That doesn't bother me. What bothers you may not bother me, what have you. But when you're laying there thinking about something, you know, you're touching something, and if you could see into the spirit realm of what that spirit is laying next to you or sitting with you, you would take a shower. You got to think of it that way. There's actually physical manifestations people have had where they're dealing with something. Well, you know, what do you think sorcery is? You know, so as our granddaughter Sadie would say, cuck. She said she couldn't say yuck at the time. She'd say cuck. So, you know, she just turned 10, by the turning 10 tomorrow. So we do have the ability to cast these things down. I refuse that. You cannot touch me. You know, get out of here. And I'm not talking about us walking in Christ-like perfection this afternoon yet, but we're on a path, you know. And you walk by faith, and you're walking straight in perfection out of your heart. You know, your heart doesn't want to think about stealing money out of a bank or committing adultery. If you're born again, that's not your heart. If it is, your conscience is seared and things, you got other problems. But, you know, when you touch something and you take a thought, and you're meditating on something maybe that's not good, it is causing an action in the realm of spirit. It is changing you one way that's not good, and it will show up. You know, you can hide it for a while, but it's going to show up in the way things are. But also the good news, when you take a thought of, you know, I'm the righteous of God, or what have you, a thought of, you know, I'm more than a conqueror. It doesn't look like it. He supplies all my need. Yeah, I know that our attorney says, not our attorney, but the attorney says, oh, bankruptcy's at the door. You're getting ready to sign the papers. You know, there's reality, and then there's going as far as you can, not taking a thought, saying, and that's not my thought. God will show up. I have faith in God, you know. There are failures. I'm not talking about the lily white life of, you know, of ignoring problems. We're not ignoring problems. We're showing how to have less problems and to walk in life and peace, Romans 8:6 says. So, you know, like I said, you never have an original thought. So where's that thought coming from? The Holy Ghost? Identify that spirit. Where that thing's coming from. So, you know, if you can't, like these people in mental institutions think, oh, I can't help what I think on. If you can't, then you're a victim. Born-again people are not victims. We're more than conquerors. And people need encouragement in this realm. Sometimes just a word of encouragement is so important for people. You know, you're not helpless. You're not a victim. Another. We know this lady. She's born again. And I can't give two specific examples. She might be listening. I don't know. But, you know, born again, well, no, I'm just going to tell you this. Watching The Chosen. Have you ever watched that? We haven't yet. It's some series about Jesus and the disciples and supposedly very... This is 3 series. But, and I'm... This lady's so into it. God bless you. This is Lori. We talked about Lori before. God bless you, Lori. And I didn't get a chance to really get into this, and I couldn't. She's got eye problems. She's really had been through all and other health problems. But this one episode, apparently recently, she talked about, well, if little James can do it, I can do it. I'm thinking, who is little James? So I Googled this later on, and it's the one episode. Apparently there was a lesser James, a disciple, and these guys, and it said right in the thing about the production, this one is not word based, because they're just kind of doing some theatrics here. They're showing this guy as handicapped, and that, well, Jesus, is not going to heal me now, but someday. This is so people can see me suffer. And I said, thank God if she can hang on to that. She's hanging on as a tool. She's in such desperate straits. But what delusion and deception. Now, she's going to heaven. Oh, yes, that's a good point. She's the other week before, and she's crying about it. She loves Jesus. Oh, that's the episode of the Women with the Issue of Blood. You know, and I just can't wait till I can get to heaven and touch Jesus' hem of his garment. Where is the pastor? Donnie said touch it now. But, you know, we're busy. We got all kind of crowds of people. You can't just, unless God opens a time frame. But, you know, this is deception. And yet she's born again. There's some people out there, like the others, I don't know if they're born again or not. And they're just looking for a Jeannie Dixon thing or the psychic, and they're being led down. They may end up in hell. Lori's born again. I don't know if she goes to church. That could be the other issue, you know. You want to be in a church nowadays for your own protection. You want to be in the right church for your own protection. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this, at least, I don't know about the production, but at least this one episode I looked up and they said, well, there's a little bit of they portrayed it this way because the Bible doesn't really speak to it. Then don't do that. You're leading people, you know, it may be a great thing, but that makes me wonder if I even want to look, go back and watch any of it. So, like I said, if you cannot help what you think on, you're helpless. So, if you want to say this with me, let's just get this settled on some things. My mind is my mind. I think on what I want to think on. I don't have to take evil thoughts. My mind is my mind. I will never go crazy. I will never go insane. I will never follow the dark side. Praise God. You know, if you take a stand like that, because this, I remember this now, this brought this back to me. I think it was before I was born again, thinking this pressure, because I did some stupid things you wouldn't believe.
We've all been there.
I mean, 4 years probably and a divorce later, and there you are. But I look back at it now, I can see. I was fine. I was like, it was great. And then I got into some real sin. And then the pressure came. It was like a mental torment. And I remember that thinking, oh my God, am I going to end up crazy? That was the biggest fear. Yeah, it starts multiplying. Well, we can say this and you can give people a word like this. I'm never going crazy. And you know what? You can start speaking this. I'm never going to a nursing home. You know, you got word on this thing. Thank God for nursing homes. I mean, but you know what I'm saying. There's things you can start earlier in life. And, you know, like Pastor says, and Brother Hagin said it, you know, there's things people have put in motion that can't be stopped right now. Darlene's got two sisters that are dealing with issues, severe issues. But I'll just say this, to be honest, too, you know, if you call into the hospital now, I mean, you probably hear the TV blasting, not the Bible. We got her a Bible. We know where your Bible is. And, you know, and I believe they're born again. It's just, you know, what I'm saying. So we are so blessed to be here. So let's go to Philippians 4. I want to give you an outline or a pattern. And I like patterns. The pastor talks about patterns of the Word, and we're getting that. The Word is so, if you let the Holy Ghost, if we let him teach us, he gives you things you can just sink into, and it's a steadying force. So in Romans 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord every Sunday and again every Wednesday night. No, wait a minute. No, no. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, we know the joy of the Lord is our
strength
and stronghold. Yeah. So no wonder he's saying to rejoice in this, in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We got a lot to rejoice in. I want to encourage you. You know, we're talking about changing the way we think. But, you know, God gave us the option here. He's just done say, well, you got born again, poof. Now, let's see if you can make it till the end. You know, no, he gave us how we can excel. I always think about fourth grade math. I was so bored sitting there. And all of a sudden the teacher says, hey, we're going to do this where you can go at your own pace and I'll grade it. Oh, this was like, I'm salivating. Because, you know, you can move ahead. This, God gave us this here that we can move ahead. So he's given us tools. So we rejoice. Lord, always going to say rejoice. I'm going to read the King James. I'm reading that. Let your moderation be made unto all men, be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Maybe that was good when they did this translation, but that stinks right now. People had said that to mean moderation in all things. That may be some other place. That's not what this is saying. You know, the God who fills your cup till it runs over, the God who made all the stars, you can't even count them, all the galaxies, that's not, you know, he's not a moderate God. You know, God's people are very demonstrative. You know, I like when you guys say amen, or, you know, you want to be on it. There's some countries where they're so stoic and quiet, and Brother Copeland talked about he was in Jamaica ministering, and they had an English influence where you're not supposed to show emotion. He laid hands on his lady, and then they came up to testify. She said, Brother Copeland, I was blind, now I see. And he said to the pastor afterward, and the pastor said, no, she was blind. Now she's, but she wouldn't show the emotion. But God's people are demonstrative, so, you know, that word moderation, if you look it up, and different translations like Amplifies, let men know and perceive and recognize your unselfish, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near, he's coming soon. Weymouth, let your forbearing spirit be known to everyone. Forbearance here is a big thing. And forbearance in the Noah Webster 1828 American Dictionary of English Language. This is a dictionary I trust. Command of temper, restraint of passions, the exercise of patience, long-suffering, indulgence toward those who injure us, leniency, mildness of temper, tenderness, mercy, delay of resentment or punishment. So the Weiss translation says, I know, there's a lot of translations. Let your sweet reasonableness be made known unto all men. That means you should be nice, easy to get along with. So my definition of this is let your forbearance, your sweet spirit, your ability to get along be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So I'm not going to say to Lori or these other people, heathen from hell, I'm going to hopefully have some forbearance. Not always. I'm working on it. But that doesn't mean you in a moment of led by the Holy Ghost, you can say some things and it'll show them. I mean, you're not a milquetoast. But so let your forbearance, your sweet spirit, your ability to get along be made known to all men. Now, somebody's always argumentative. I don't talk to me, you know, you're fine. If I say white, you're going to say black, so we know the deal. So we don't want to be that way because that doesn't help minister to people. But it says, be careful for nothing, verse 6, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we're rejoicing. We're letting our forbearance, our patience, our sweet spirit, and we're careful for nothing. We don't want to take the care. That means anxiety and I had some other definitions here. But, you know, the agitation. And in John it says not to let yourself be unsettled. You know, we read in Romans 8:6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In John, I think it's 14:27, the Amplified, it says, he gave us his peace. He bequeathed it to us. We have it by right of the inheritance of the will. It's been probated. And he says, don't let yourself be unsettled. Don't let yourself be agitated. I mean, there's times I got to go to that word and get myself settled and unagitated because I let myself, you know, get that way. So, don't be distracted. That's another thing about this age. The devil is out to distract you. Can you think about COVID? Can you think about elections? Can you think about economies, empty shelves, inflation. He's out to distract us. You know, this can be turned around in a hurry, but this is all manipulated, you know, and I don't want to get off into the politics of it, but, you know, there's manipulation of the devil, that there's people that just want to rule over you, and you're going to be down here, and we're going to be up here, but then God has another idea. So, and then verse 7, and the peace of God, we're getting into a pattern here now, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, after you've prayed and been thankful, letting requests be made known. This can be as simple as a parking space in New York City, or, well, that's not very simple, or you know, anything. It doesn't have to be some major issue. It says, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this is what we're looking for. We're getting this detail. He's giving us a pattern. We're rejoicing. We're giving thanks. We're letting requests be known. So if you're full of distraction, you're not full of peace. You're not making the right decision. You're not thinking on the right things. So, you know, you can go along and not be very happy and get a thought, like the thought of Sadie or other grandchildren, and you smile. Or you can be going along really good. This is a great day, and all of a sudden this thought comes, and it's like, And don't take that. When you get up in the morning, think, Lord, I'm rejoicing in you. I want to have the right thoughts. And start your day, not with Special K, but start it, you know. So how do we know? I don't eat cereal. I don't. I lost my train of thought. How would you know whether you're thinking the right or wrong thing? It said, life and peace. If you're walking in life and peace, you're thinking usually in a good thing. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to not have the pressure. Oh, sure, you got to do that interview next week. You know, and darling, you're going to have to get all that tax work done and all the, you know, order coffee. You know. No, there's pressure. But, you know, when you think on the right thing, well, God is more than able to help me through this. He's helping us. He's strengthening us. But now, the other side is carnally thinking brings life and death. And life and death will literally, it brings death by carnally thinking. Death will flow into you, into your life, into your body. You know, you think of bad thoughts long enough, it's going to lead you in a direction you don't want to be. But again, the spiritual thoughts, life and peace, are going to flow into your mind, into your body even. So Isaiah 57, don't turn there, but you can reference it. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, no rest, mire and dirt come into mind. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. So the scripture says there's no peace to the wicked, the evil, the bad, the wrong. Why follow that path? For example, somebody that's in grief. You know, we only miss somebody and you can grieve, so to speak, but the Bible says that sorrow of mind is under the curse. You know, in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about sorrow of mind, and I'm talking about, I'm not saying you shouldn't be unhappy if somebody close to dies, and not unhappy, but, you know, you miss them. But I know people that years, 3-4 years going down, and we're still grieving. Every time something comes up, it's like, oh, give me a hug, I'm tearful. And I'm thinking I'm going to do grief counseling. And I'm going to have my buddy come with me, and we can go get this. You might need grief counseling too, because didn't your dad die or something? You know, it's a spirit of grief. And, you know, why go down that path? Again, don't take that the wrong way. Why go down a path that you're going to have to come back? You're going down. You're going to have to come back up to get to even. There's no life in it. I'm not talking about being hard. You have compassion for people. You know, we try to minister a little bit to this person that, you know, she said, it's a female. He or she said they're in heaven. They prayed the sinner's prayer. So we say, you know, they're in heaven, you know, they're in your future. They're not just in your past, they're in your future. This is not real, though. And that, then, that's open to deception, because this is a person that thought, well, maybe I'll check with a medium, see if I can make contact. Deception. Born again person. I don't know what else to say about it. Isaiah 26, you don't have to turn here either, but we talked about this in an offering. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, thought, imagination is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. The Hebrew there is actually peace, peace. You know, a double load of peace. You keep your mind stayed on God. And I'm not saying that's the easiest job, especially when you're under pressure. When you're under the pressure, the doctor says, I'm going to cut that off. And the thought maybe came, I'll never walk again. But not you. Yeah, I know you're tough. But the thought would tend to come, well, you're never going to be like you were. And you counteract that, cast that down, and say, yeah, I'm making it. But then there's other people that have amputations that never go anywhere. I mean, that's their choice. What are they thinking on? So don't let this be too simple today. We keep our mind stayed on him. Like I said, not easy all the time, because we trust in him. He'll keep us in perfect peace. Two loads of peace, the Hebrew says. So, and God's not a liar. If he said that, you know, for me to think, and this, I used to deal with this too before I was, I think soon after I got born again. Can I do that? That's pride all over the place. And I hate pride, and I'm dealing with it, and Darlene's really showing it up. No, she's helping me. No, but really, we all deal with that, and that's the thing. So if he said that he would keep you in perfect peace, if your mind, your thought, your imagination stayed on him, because you trust in him, you can trust him. He's not a liar. He'll do it. He'll do it. So the Amplified says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, his mind, both its inclination and character, is stayed on you, because he hopes confidently in you. So, you know, you don't have to turn there, but Colossians 3, 2 in the Amplified, one of my favorite scriptures, and set your minds, the King James, set your thoughts, I think, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. Now, if he says to do that, don't think about this, but you think about this. We're created in his image, we're speaking spirits, do you think we can do this? Would God have said, I said that, but you're such a pitiful thing, I'll give you a pass because, you know, you're just not with it. No, that's pride. I mean, that person, you know, you're just a simpleton. You know, you're just, you don't have to deal with that. No, he said it. We can all do it. So if we're standing on this everlasting rock, you know, the word's going to be the same 100 years from now, 10,000 years from now, as it was 100 years ago and it is now. So we can stand on it. We can, you know, the redemptive reality of Christ has not changed. The word's not changed. We shouldn't change. That's easily said, isn't it? We shouldn't. We should be like a rock. So the tests and trials will be plenty, you know. But you gotta be tough. You gotta stand up and say no. I think about the Band of Brothers. They knew war was coming. I heard Dick Winters or read about it. They knew the war was coming, and they decided, I'm gonna serve with the best. Some of them didn't even know what the paratroopers were. That was a new concept. One guy said, you know. The recruiter said, anybody want to join that? And they said, what's that? Oh, you jump out of an airplane. But it pays $50 a month more. I'm in. I mean, they wanted to be with the best, because they weren't with some yo-yo that was going to turn on them or not cover them or be asleep when the enemy's coming in. So we are training. This is all a training ground. We want to excel for God. Now, are you in Philippians yet? I guess you are. Yeah. So this pattern here, all this goes together. We're not supposed to be careful or anxious. We're supposed to pray with thanksgiving. The peace of God which comes, keeping your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. There's an anointing for this. You can step into it. Finally, brethren, verse 8. You know, this is a checklist. I've told you this before, but flying with my dad, I saw him many times. Look at that checklist before startup. Walk around the plane before you get in. And, you know, you could say, well, I've done this 1,000 times. Yeah. And 1,001, you've got your mind on something else. And a lot of dead pilots that way. But, excuse me. So I encourage you, make a checklist. And in verse 8, here we go. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, excuse me, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, whatever things, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think or meditate on these things. He's got a checklist here. You know, we've got this handed to us on a silver platter. Just rejoice in the Lord. Stay in the strength of the Lord. That's your stronghold. Don't get off into the grief. You know, yeah. And as a general rule, just stay in the joy. Not necessarily just happiness, but joy. Welling up. You know, rejoice in Him. Let your forbearance be known to all men. Be somebody that people don't mind being around, that maybe you can offer them an encouragement. You know, I realize this. We were at Sadie's. She had a roller skating party for her birthday yesterday up near Lewis Ferry somewhere. But I'm watching these kids, and I was thinking, should I get on skates? Darlene said, I'm going to, but then she didn't because she was helping, and I'm glad I didn't. But I can ice skate. I learned ice. I mean, when I was in college, I had an Olympic-winning coach in ice skating. It was just one term, but I always could ice skate, but roller skating, yeah. So anyway, but I'm watching this, and Sadie, our granddaughter, turning 10, is the kind she's going to be help anybody she can. She's just nature that way. And there's this girl there, couldn't function too well at all. And they have these things you can hold on in front of, like, yeah. You know. So Sadie's helping her, and then we see Sadie come out with one of these things, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, you got to pay for them. Where'd you get that? After a while, the announcer says, if you have number 42, whatever they call that thing, that's not, bring it back. So I see she's taking it back. But anyway, then Bethany, our daughter, gets one for the little girl, the other girl. And Sadie can skate really well. She's a rollerblader on the driveway. But she is not just out there hot-dogging it on her own. She's always with somebody. She's helping these kids. There's some kids that just can't make it. She's got their hands. And I realized, and these kids are smiling. I realized we really need to realize what a word of encouragement can do to somebody, instead of, well, that's forbearance, really. Instead of being critical and just slapping them down. There's sometimes you need correction. That's right. But you know, people look up to us, I think, as a church, whether they act like it or want to act like it or not. They're looking for some kind of direction. And my heart goes out to these people that following psychics or the medium lines, you know, so deceived. Initially, earlier, I was like, you're mad at them. Like, how stupid are you? But, you know, you get to the point where, man, you are so deceived. What can I do? How do you get to these people? You just wait for the Holy Ghost to give you a moment. Or believe God will get to them. So anyway, we have this checklist in chapter 8. Meditate on these things. Is this a God-approved thought? Has this thought passed the rigorous test of the Most High God? Let's see. Is this thought true? You know, is it true? But even if it's true, is it of a good report? Yeah, well, so-and-so, I heard, did this. They cheated on an exam. I know, I saw them. Well, you going to meditate on that? That's true. No, but it's not a good report. I don't want to meditate on that. They'll get there, so to speak. I mean, that doesn't work for them long. So this is a God-approved thought, you know. First of all, you're rejoicing. It gets you on the right track. You know, you're rejoicing in the Lord. So you're not thinking about the world's problems all the time in the morning you get up. And you think, well, what do I have to rejoice about? Well, turn to Psalm 136. Psalm 107, Psalm 145. I told you this before. I can be feeling like mud and get up and start walking down the driveway quoting that scripture and praising God and not caring if the neighbors see me raising my hand, what have you. And it changes your whole demeanor. Because that, in essence, is casting out the thought. Probably some spirit wants to ruin my day. And you know. But you know what? I talk about when I first got born again and stuff. It's a whole lot better now and easier because, you know, the spirits of the devil are going to go after the young ones. And that's why some of these young ones that ought to be along in the faith, they just haven't grown, they're still easy prey. So we're on the right track, praising God. Then the word says not to be full of care. Don't fret or be anxious about anything. Don't worry about things. And then the peace of God, you know, which passes all understanding, keeping your heart in mind. Spiritual thoughts, life and peace. They're going to keep your heart and mind. And now finally, with this checklist, he's telling you how to hold on to your peace. Well, did you hear about so-and-so? And then sometimes, no, and I don't want to, but you can't get away from them. And they've got the beeper on, the dump truck's going up, and they're going to dump the whole load. So you fully understand what they're going through. I mean, now wait till you hear this. Another load coming in, dumping, you know. So you just have to think, you know, and a good report. You know, what if a doctor says to you, I'm going to use you for an example. Yeah, we're going to have to do this. You had to do it. And then you got somebody, I don't know if this happened, but somebody come in and say, oh, you poor thing, you'll never be the same. Pity you. And you're thinking, well, this is not a good report. If I just can't get away from this thought pronto, it's gonna. I got to get thinking on what God's saying. And I know you've done this, and I've done this. People are talking, and I'm thinking about something God said, and I'm just trying to smile, and maybe I have this dumb look because I'm not listening to a word they're saying. You know, you got to be able to do that, and it's all right because you push the button, and they're giving you the organ recital. Well, this hurts, and that. And then they're not thinking one iota of you. They're just going. And if you would happen to get a word in, they're already loading their gun because it's empty and they want to get this next thought out. And God help. I know I've probably been that way too. But you got to laugh. But he's telling us how to keep our peace. Whatever things are true, the opposite of true is false, you know. You don't want to think on the false things. It's not on the checklist. And deception is not a God-approved thought. Now, with that lady, you know, we listen about Lesser James and, I'm suffering. If he can do it, I can do it, and I'll get there. Someday I'm going to be this way. I'm going to be fine in heaven. I didn't have the time, but I was not led to say, you dummy, don't you know? You know, there's a way to do things with forbearance, but... or else just pray and let somebody else come through. Whatever things are honest. Well, I don't know if they can handle the truth. Maybe I'll just tell them, you're so good at this, and now you're lying. That's never a good thing. I mean, you don't want to be saying, oh, you really stink at that, you know. Like Sadie could have said, man, you can't skate, see you later, you know. But, you know, because you start lying to people, it's for their good. Then you got to try and remember, now, what did I tell them? And then, did these people know that I said that? Now, what did I tell? You know how that thing goes. So you want, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just. The opposite is what's not fair. And this is a pet peeve of mine, and if I step on your toes, so be it. And I don't mean to be harsh, but... Okay, so we're at a farmer's market with a business... a really good business, because we got a good product, and I'm not trying to drum up business here, but then we see throughout the bill, other billings, we know, and we pay hundreds of dollars in sales tax every quarter, and somebody said to Darlene when she bought the business in 2004, well, you'll never make it charging sales tax. Well, this is not an option. This is the law. And... so we know there's people there. One guy said, oh, I haven't made money in years. I got this new truck, though. And, you know, I think to myself, well, that's fine. And, you know, that is carnal thinking, and I understand some people maybe just in a lot in this area. You know, you gotta be frugal. You gotta watch the buck. You gotta save. You gotta, but you can't let it money become the god. I had one guy brag to me one time. Oh yeah, I got this wrench. Went home, changed the oil, and took it back and said it didn't work. Just smiling, bragging away. And so, whatever things is just. So, but my point is this: even though we're aware of these things, people cheating the government, this is rampant. People, you know this. It's not a just thought. So don't dwell on it because it's gonna make your day bad. And you know, I never had issues with welfare, that sort of thing, growing up, or I just never had issues. And one day, some years back, I got to thinking, you cheating, the fraud of it. But what's the point of going down that path for me? Doesn't.
Amen.
So even though we, you know, being aware of the, you can be educated, you can be aware of something, it doesn't mean you got to let it into your thought and dwell on it, because you'll be on the hotline of the state every time, and then they don't do anything, so what does it matter? No, but we do need to take our place civically. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but you can't let things like that just mess up your day. So ask the question, where did this thought come from? Is this godly? No. Is it on the checklist? No. Everybody needs a bouncer for their mind. You know, you ever hear of bouncers? you got to have a bouncer. Knock, knock, trying to get a thought into you. You look through the peephole. Where did you come from? And let's see. You're not on the list. And this is an elite club. You can't come in here. You got to think of this. And, you're an elite person, so to speak. You know, we're all born again. But you don't have to let those thoughts in. You got to bounce at the door. I was a goaltender in soccer. My job was to keep the ball out of the net. And I was good at it, frankly, but not bragging. That's not pride, just fact. But, you just stop the thing. You just stop, and the best record in the county at that time. And then that other guy got to make the All-Star team and go to Europe. Now, did I have to dwell on that? No, I don't dwell on that. No, I just remember it. I remember the lunch line, and this guy comes up, one of my halfback in class with me, and he says, oh yeah, the guy from Hamburg got it, you're not going. Real tact. So, but thing is, I couldn't go anyway. I started college right out of high school, so I have a good memory. Remember this. I'm not mad at the guy. I was better, though. It's politics. I'm just making a point here. So whatever things are pure, you know. Huh? Yeah. No, you got to know, even when something like that happens, like, I should have had the promotion, or I should have got that contract. You know, if you let that fester, It you go down the wrong path. You got to come back out eventually. I found this when I do miss it, and which is, we all miss it. But I think to myself, oh God, why did I do this? Now I got to repent. So I repent, get back up there, and why I go down that path? But there's times when the flesh just heats up. There's thoughts, carnal thoughts that have killed people. I'm not going to let them get in there. In that, I'm going to road rage. I'm talking about. I've heard of one guy at the market. Been in a road rage, he's dead. Probably had a thought that wasn't spiritual, carnal thought, and it's led to death. There's people that had, I can think of others in the past that had must, I don't know what they were thinking, but I don't know if they were thinking, but they're dead. They're gone. And they probably had this thought, acted on it. Somewhere back in line, we probably had grandmothers praying for us. I know I that's just some mercy of God. So we want to have, like I said, this bouncer at the door. Whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely. Like I said, knowing it, being informed, being aware of it is not the same thing as meditating on it day and night. So, you bounce these thoughts. Of a good report, the doctor comes in and says, oh, I'm sorry, there's nothing more we can do. And you're thinking, all right, you gave me your report, that's your job, you're a doctor, you're looking at that way. But I'm getting out of here pronto. I'm going to think of thoughts of God. I'm going to go to my scriptures, Isaiah, Matthew 8, 1 Peter 2:24, different scriptures, feed them into me, which we ought to be doing now. And a little sidetrack here. I talked about, you know, patterns in life where you set things in motion. Pastor mentioned about, Darlene and I watch Faith School with Keith Moore. It's on daily. And we don't always get to see it daily, but half an hour a day. When you can pull aside for that, maybe we're eating breakfast or something at that time. I'm telling you what, half an hour and in the Word of Faith, a lot on healing, there's days it just brightens your day. It's something you can hook into. So I encourage you, in whatever realm, healing, prosperity, deliverance, whatever, get some Word daily, daily. Feed yourself. Keep on that. So meditate on these things. And then I'm going to wrap this up in Colossians chapter 3. I probably missed a bunch of stuff on my notes, but that's all right. Any comments, dear? You know, I know what Pastor's saying about when you're under the anointing, you say things, then you go home and you think, oh, did I say this right? I learned to try and relax under the anointing of God because, you know, one thing that's real to me, before you can go to Colossians, I want to go and tell you this. This came up to my spirit this morning too. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, this is Matthew 12:36-37, on the day of judgment, which is coming, we're all going to face it. Men will have to give an account. Does that leave women out? No, he's talking about the race of men. Men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. I don't want to be doing that up here today, idle, inoperative words. I'm here to help, to try and help people. For by your words you'll be justified and acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned and sentenced. So that has to do with the thinking, too. The thought life is going to produce, you know, words are thought capsule. You're going to start talking about what you're thinking about. And, you know, I don't know what it is, but in our realm, probably you guys too, you get to talking to people and it ends up talking about the word. I can't, looking back before Christ's days, B.C., you know, you had no thoughts about God. I didn't know about God. I went to church and I'm not blaming them, but I had no concept, absolutely none. And then you get born again, and now, you know, we don't brag about it, but, you know, do you go much without thinking about God? You shouldn't be. You should be thinking about God a lot. So in Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to be an Amplified in the King James, but this is real. This will help you. In 3:14, the King James says, above all these things, put on charity or agape, love, which is the bond of perfectness. The New King James says the bond of perfection. You put on love, and you're stepping into the bond of perfection. We got to realize we follow our heart. Our hearts are born again. Our hearts are turned towards God. When you get these thoughts, distractions, anxieties, bad thoughts that are not going to lead you anything good, get them under control, you can hear better out of your spirit. You can make better decisions. Obviously, you're thinking on the spiritual things, and it's life and peace. And when you're at peace and in life, you generally are going to make a better decision than when you're thinking about, you know, how can I con this guy out of that? I have a presentation tomorrow, but how can I con this guy out of that? What do I say tomorrow? You're thinking about conning this person, but as you got to make a presentation, you going to make the right decision? No. So, and then in the Amplified, in verse 15, what translation you guys using generally? King James, yeah. No American, yeah. Well, I'll read in the King James and I'll go to it. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to to which you also called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. I love the Amplified. It's just amplification. And the peace, let the peace from the Christ rule, I always say the rule of Christ, the anointed one, his anointing, the rule of the anointing. Let the peace which comes from the Christ rule in your hearts. Act as an umpire continually in your hearts. Act as an umpire continually in your hearts, settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. Is that a God thought? What do I check your heart? I mean, did God say that? Or search the scripture. God, and be thankful. Peace of God and thankfulness always run together. It says, you know, Romans 8:6, life and peace. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So thankfulness and peace run together. Be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. So we saw in Philippians, not to worry. Pray about things with thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving go together. The right thing in your mind will keep you in peace on the checklist. Let the peace from the Christ rule act as umpire continually. This is exactly in line with the other passages. So here comes the thought. Does it minister peace to you? And again, now maybe you've got to deal with a situation, and maybe you're pressuring, you know, you got to deal with it. I'm talking about the peace of God. And the peace of God will help you through tough times. Does it minister peace to you? You know, if not, be like, you know, it says, let the peace from the Christ will act as umpire. So here comes this thought. No, you're not mine. Get out of here. In fact, I'm throwing you out of the game. You're out of here. The umpire is taking care of business. You let that thing guide you and direct you. Come in here and try and upset me. You know, first, I like to read the riot act to the devil. And he's out of there before you're even done. Just throw that thought out of there. You're throwing him out. And I said, I'm going to give you one more scripture. So, and I, by the way, I've proven this in Colossians 3. And I've proven this about the renewing of the mind. And it doesn't take long. If you're dealing with a certain issue, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. I'm dealing with these thoughts coming in. Fill in the blank. Just act on this. Start combating against them. Throw them out. You're the umpire of your life. Let the peace of God act as an umpire. And throw them out and start saying, well, I got to use that example, you know, about the other sex. No, they're not my spouse. They're never going to be my spouse. I got the best spouse. What in the world are you trying to bring me that thought for? There's no life in that. There's only death and carnality. It leads the wrong way. There's no future in that. And you just start rebuking that thing. And the peace of God does come, and it's your umpire. Yeah, I'm on the right track. Let me throw a few more things out here, devil. I rebuke you. Don't you bring that to me again. You're the umpire. You can control what you're thinking. Now, the problem is the carnal Christian wants to think about the psychic, wants to think about the lust or the overeating or the overdrinking or what have you. You know, I'm using these examples, but, you know, I could be on the carpet for overeating, you know. When are you going to get your body in better shape? I am working out, the Lord, but, yeah. So, anyway, fill in the blank. But this is something that when I earnestly pray this, I'm walking down the driveway doing Psalm 136, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for you are good. I mean, think about the reality. He is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that. Psalm 145, I will extol thee, O Lord, my God. I will praise your name forever. That means you magnify him. You go through those psalms, and if you're not at least somewhat brightened up, your wood is wet, and you can't get the match lit or something. But then I'm looking over here in Psalm 139. You might want to turn there. And I encourage you to go before God and pray this. And, you know, if you're not afraid of, you know, I don't want any dark corners in my life. At least I'm willing to be willing, you know what I mean? oh, yeah, I'd like to hang on to that, but okay, I'm willing to be willing and help me, Lord. I don't want the dark shadows, you know. What was that guy's name? There you go. I never watched that. I was too stupid. No, I never did, but she says they'd run up the steps and anyway. But how'd that come up anyway? Oh, you don't want the dark. I don't want any dark parts in me. I mean, the Holy Ghost and my wife really got to me on some issues that really turned some things. Like, I would think about this certain way of living. I said, I am not going to live fill in the blank. Because for me, I am not. And she finally got to me saying, you're just, you know, the Holy Ghost never got to me. So we went to Genesis, where Abraham was told of God to depart. And he departed to the land that God would show him. So yeah, I use that a lot. In other words, I don't want to say I will never, you know, fill in the blank. So you want to be where God shows you to be. Now, the thing is, God dealt with me then. I don't want you to do that. You just had this in your head. You're not going to do it. I didn't ask you to do it. I just wanted to be willing, you know. So there's times like that. I'm not particularly fond of if I'd had to go to China, but and you know I'm never going to say I will not, because then you're probably on the chopping block. Start learning Mandarin. So, but my point is to in this stage we're in, this triangle of the end, we want to stay in the light. We want to be willing at least. And let his power work through us. And so I got this scripture one day, like I said, walking up and down the driveway in the lane in Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God. Man, if you can pray this, I'd double dog dare you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. So, you know, I don't want this junk getting in my heart because of wrong thinking. I want things tweaked. And then verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, this is the pathway we want to be on. Rejoicing sets you on the right track. Let your forbearance, your sweet spirit, you're going to be able to minister that way. And, you know, just, I'm not saying you can't. You know what I'm saying. And then letting your requests be known unto God. Stay in prayer with thanksgiving. This sets you on the right track. And then he gives you the checklist. Think on these things. Is it on this checklist? No, you can't get in. Out of here. I'm the umpire. In fact, I throw you out of the game. Leave. And, okay, search me, God. Lord, you show me. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, Killian, you got to deal with this. You know, God will deal with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. You know, I don't want to be thinking thoughts that, like, you're laying in bed with some foul spirit. If you could see it, you would, like I said, take 10 showers. There was this thing one time, we're way back on a Star Trek movie. This transforming thing, this beautiful creature was trying to get in with Kirk, and then all of a sudden, he could see what it really looked like, the ugliness of it. And I always think of that when I think of these thoughts are so ugly, and you want to lay there and think about cheating and stealing and, no, I mean, no, realize the reality of this. So, we don't want to open spirits of darkness and let them in. And believe me, you deal with a spirit, and you don't let it in, if you have to throw it out 3 times, it'll change your life. Amen. You think on the right thing. You want to change your life, it will. You'll feel and you'll be better. You'll be in life and peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord. It's a day. Oh, we're so glad to be alive in this day when we can be in the light. We don't want to miss this. We don't want to get outside in the darkness. show us if we're being deceived in any manner. We're just keeping our eyes fixed on you because we can depend on you. We're keeping our hearts and minds set on you. And you keep us in perfect peace, peace, peace. We depend on you for this. We depend on us to stay in the light. And Lord, there's people out there we can help. Not by sledgehammering them, not by whatever, but by just a word that you might give, an encouraging word, an encouraging smile, an encouragement. And there's people, hordes are coming in, Lord. So we want to be ready. This is real to us. You are coming back. We have an eternity. So, Lord, we're in this training ground. Oh, God, help us with the right. Search us. Know our hearts. Check our thoughts. We're opening ourselves up to you. And we thank God you've given us the answer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise God.